trust in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul.
Okay, so today is a part two from last week about hearing God's voice. We are working through the Gospel of John. If you haven't been with us, we're in John chapter 10. Last week, we read a good big portion of the scripture and really dove into and highlighted some incredible news from Jesus. There's always so much great truth and great information, great news in God's word, but we highlighted one thing. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And that was a confirmation from what he had said a few verses earlier in John chapter 10, 3 and 4 and 5, where he says that the sheep hear his voice, he calls them by name, he leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And there is some incredible news in that, that hearing God's voice is supposed to be God's will for you in this area, is that it's a normal part of life. That following Jesus is not simply a set of rules, it's not a philosophy, it's not this abstract, oh, these are my beliefs. The way that Jesus describes it is he's out ahead of us, and if we want to follow him as his sheep, as his disciples, it's by the leading of his voice. It is such good news that God wants this relationship with him to be active, real, vibrant, powerful. Like, I hear you, God. I hear you. That I'm not walking through life as an orphan. I'm not walking through life just trying to do it right, just to follow some rules, just to check the box, just to have a nice set of beliefs. I'm walking through life by the leading of his voice. Jesus says, my heart for you, My children, is that that is normal. That's what I do. My sheep hear my voice. And I feel like we can't just hear that good news enough, just to let that sink in, settle in. But that is God's will. And our job on our end is to listen, to quiet ourselves, to get rid of the noise and the distractions, and to posture our hearts in a way where we're listening. Because God's talking a lot. Often we're just not listening. So this morning, I want to simply give us two tools, two expectations. And we'll hit some more next week, actually. If you're following along in the Lift Notes, this will be we're going to go for number 3 today, and probably number 6. Number 3. God likes it when we ask questions. Totally believe that part of posturing our hearts to hear his voice is God likes it when we ask questions, when we'll go to him. And this is part of our posturing our hearts to listen to the leading of his voice is to quiet ourselves enough to say, God, what do you think about this situation? Jesus said it like this at the end of Matthew. He gave the whole Sermon on the Mount, this beautiful picture of the kingdom of God, all these different areas where Jesus is saying God's will is to transform the current brokenness of our lives in all these different areas. And at the end he says, Matthew 7:24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. God wants us to reign in life through becoming wise by building his house on the rock, our house on him, the rock. And how do we do that? We hear and we respond. We hear and we do. And so one of the most important things I believe we can do as followers of Jesus is learn how to put that into relational question form. It's actually at the end of your Lift Notes for every single week. Questions are these. What are you saying to me, God? Or God, what do you want to say to me? And then what do you want me to do with it? Those questions should be two of the most important phrases that ever come out of your mouth. That's right here, Matthew 7:24. That's the hearing and doing. That's how Jesus said. That's the secret formula, if you will, from Jesus. that if you want to become that wise man, that wise woman that reigns in life, builds your house on the rock, hear and respond. So God, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do? Trusting you want to lead me with your voice, not just abstract truths or principles, but you want to lead me with your voice. So am I taking those questions into every aspect of life? What do you want to say to me right now, Lord? About my job, about my finances, about my marriage, about my kids, anything and everything, about these fears that I have, about these lies I'm believing, about these hurts that I have. What do you want to say to me? And how can I respond? I believe God loves those questions. He wants to lead you with his voice. And I believe he loves when we engage him. When we say, I'm going to take the initiative. This matters to me. I want to walk with God, so I'm going to ask questions. Not in an interrogating way. I'm asking you questions, God. No, in a childlike way, just like what I would love if my kids would come. And when they do come and they ask for help, they ask for perspective, they ask for wisdom, they ask for their parents' take on it, right? You know, if you're a parent, it's wonderful. Versus they just kind of doing it on their own. Okay, well, we'll see how that works for you. So I want to encourage us. It's simple, but it's profound. Are you asking God? Are you quieting down yourself enough to, in all these situations of life that matter to you, are you asking God? God, what do you want to say to me about this? And what do you want me to do with it? It's huge. That will change your life, I promise. I live on it every day. And I just want to give one little fun example. I shared it probably a year ago. A concrete one to kind of prove that God loves to answer specific questions that we ask. It's not always this concrete, but I love the concreteness of this example to remind us he does love when his kids come and say, God, what do you think about this? And the story for me was there was a Sunday afternoon. Had a wonderful morning, felt God's presence, felt God's power, just God doing good things. And so, you know, that's good, that means a lot. That's fulfilling, right, as a pastor. But I was then drove to Temecula, going to the grocery store, and my heart was just talking to God in the grocery store and just kind of was feeling like, Lord, that was wonderful this morning, but I want to make sure that I don't let successful ministry days become my identity, where that's where my worth comes from, or that's where my validation comes from. Lord, I just want to know, what I want to know, am I walking with you, Lord? I just want to walk with you as your beloved child. Lord, would you just, I specifically said, Lord, would you speak to me? Am I just walking with you, or am I off base? Do I need a readjustment in this area? Am I just walking with you? Close my car door, and I see this. Maybe. There it is. I'm walking with Jesus. As I close the trunk of the car, my eyes went like a laser to this old beat-up truck next to me. This is the, whatever they call that, the truck bed back thing. And this is a huge, huge, like annoyingly huge logo. Boom! Right there on the back. But I literally had just literally said the words, Lord, I want to hear from you. Am I walking with you? Because I know that that's all that really matters. And I want to know. Closed car door. Boom! I'm walking with Jesus. And then to boot, I felt like the Lord threw in a little icing on the cake there. Diehard disciple. If you don't know me, that language is rather important to us. We do think it's important to be disciples, true learners, followers of Jesus. So it was like, God's like, I love when you ask. You're just my kid. And I want to answer, and then I want to throw a cherry on top just because I love you. Because I'm nice. I want to encourage you to the next level. And it was like, boom. Never seen that bumper sticker before. Never seen it again. To me, it was a clear moment where God's like, I'm just a good father. I just want you to know that when you ask, I want to answer. And it's not always so abundantly clear, but what I want to use that as it's an example, it's the heart of God that's for all of us. He wants us to come with him, to him, trusting that his word says he wants to lead us with his voice. His voice, meaning it's not going to be, where are you, God, forever? That's not his will. Sometimes that feels that way, but there's roadblocks. There's lies we're believing. Maybe we're not quieting ourselves. Maybe we're not asking. But his heart is, I want to lead you with my voice. So come and ask me. Talk to me. So I would encourage you, if you're not already, to really begin cultivating that in as many areas of life as possible. Not a stressful way of like, oh, I got to ask. But more of like, wow, I have the privilege to calm myself down, quiet myself, and ask, God, what do you think about this? What do you want me to do in this situation? What's your will in this situation? How can I respond? And trust that he loves to lead you with his voice. And secondly, and lastly, one other one I want to cover today. Number 6 in the lift notes here. Just tools of good news when we're building this picture, if you will, of what it looks like to hear his voice and how to hear his voice. One thing, we can be confident in God's will, that he wants to speak to us, is that God loves to speak our identity and our destiny. In Matthew 16, there's a beautiful moment where Jesus is with his disciples. It's a very intimate moment. Peter makes this beautiful confession that he believes Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus responds and, in an equally beautiful moment, releases this good news of Peter's identity and destiny, how God sees him. He says in Matthew 16, 18 and 19, I tell you, you are Peter, which means little rock. Jesus is using a play on words in the Greek. It's this, you are this, you're Peter, you're the little rock. And on this rock, there's the play on words, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is Jesus speaking out part of Peter's identity and destiny. That this is God's name for you, which is appropriate given Jesus said in John 10, 3 and 4, which we're looking at, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. The leading of his voice is going to be so personal. God wants you to be able to say, he's talking to me by name. He's calling me out by name. Let the weight of that get on you and get in you. That the leading of his voice is meant to be so personal that for you, it's going to be, wow, he's leading me by name. I'm not just this nameless, faceless sheep, this number. There's just thousands of sheep out there, and oh, I'm part of God's family, but he doesn't know me. You see all these other sheep, they're the special ones. They're the nice ones. They're the good-looking ones. They're the talented. They're the anointed. They're the gifted. They're the blessed. And I'm just kind of lost in the crowd. That is not God's will for our life. He leads us by his voice and calls us by name. He wants you to feel like you're his favorite. Not in an arrogant way, but I like that phrase, meaning he speaks to you in such an undeniably personal way, you're like, wow, me? Little old me? You know my name? You have an identity for me? You have a destiny? Peter, you're the rock? The rock? He's a spineless betrayer from the world's eyes. In God's eyes, you're the rock. He deserves spineless betrayer. That's what he's earned. Jesus knows that coming. He's like big mouth, you know, arrogant, spineless jellyfish betrayer. And Jesus is like, not how heaven sees you. You're the rock. And part of your destiny is I'm going to build my church on the rock that you are. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. What? In the same way, that's what we've got to put ourselves in those shoes of, oh man, well, if God told me how he sees me, oh, I'm a loser, I'm a mess up, I'm a screw up, I'm a liar, I'm a cheat, I'm a stealer, whatever your thing is that you've been told you're not good enough. Look at Peter. I love how the Bible lifts up the people that don't have it together and says, but that's not how God sees you. A, you're saved by grace, but B, God sees you with your heavenly eye, with his heavenly eyes of what you're made for, what you're made to do, who you're made to be. He sees you at your best, and he calls that to you, your name. He calls it out of you. So just to be brief, the encouragement is, if you don't know that yet, there is so much goodness waiting for you. To know, to hear the voice of the Lord call you by name. This is who you are in my eyes, and this is what I have for you. This is what I'm inviting you to be a part of, that my kingdom may advance. And I don't believe it's a one-time thing necessarily. I feel like it unfolds where God will show you pieces of it. And as time grows, as your journey with him grows and deepens, he's going to show you more and more of who you are in his eyes, what he's made you to do, the names he has for you. I mean, there is something so life-giving and helps you come alive when you hear the voice of the Lord say, this is my name for you. And if you haven't heard that yet, don't be disappointed. Get excited. He wants to lead you by his voice and call you by name. Oh, that's good news. And if he's already called you by name, my personal conviction is he's not done. There's more. And there is scarcely few things that I've experienced in life that have been more life-giving than when the voice of God treats you like you're the most special one in the world. That's how it feels. And he says, this is my name for you. Gotta do it. Pursue the Lord for it. It's awesome. And there's things that are so deep, personal, special that I'll probably like never share with but a few people. Or maybe I'll just get to the point where I just want to share with everybody. I don't know. But so intimate where God says, this is my name for you. And everything I'm saying is, this is just from Jesus. He wants to call you by name. Let me pause there. We'll pray. We'll call it a day. We'll have the prayer team come forward. I'll pick up some more next week. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your heart, God, that you want to lead us by your voice. And I pray a blessing upon this church family, that if there is any obstacles or earplugs, your grace would just wash those away, that you would help us to quiet ourselves, to turn off the noise, to posture our hearts in a way where we're ready to listen. And Lord, may the floodgates come. May we not be orphans tossed to and fro by this world and the lostness in it. May we be anchored in your goodness because we hear your voice. And I pray a specific blessing that this church family would be a church that we know who we are, because we've heard you call us by name. Like Peter, they got called the rock when he seemingly did not deserve it for anything. Lord, would you call us each by name? For those who've never heard your voice, I pray there be that special personal way in which they would hear you say, this is part of my heart for you. This is part of your destiny. It's part of what you're made to do. Enjoy it. Love it. Come alive in it. Accept it. Have fun in it. Be powerful in it. I pray we would hear your voice in this way and increasing in many ways, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was singing.